إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Verily the praise belongs to Allah. We praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness, and we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray, and whoever Allah leads astray, there is no one that can guide him. I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that He has no partners or associates. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His servant and His messenger. This evening, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, in our 10th session, dealing with the topic of al-iman, that is having faith in al-qadr, khayrihi wa sharrihi, the divine pre-decree of Allah, its good and its evil. We have been taking these notes from the book of Shaykh Hafiz Ibn Ahmed Ibn Ali Al-Hakami Rahimahullah, which he has entitled Alam Al-Sunnah Al-Manshura Li'i'tiqad Al-Ta'ifa Al-Najiyah Al-Mansura. And this section that we are taking it from is the section dealing with the pillars of Iman, and specifically, obviously, we're talking about this particular pillar of Iman, that is belief in the divine pre-decree. And we had said early on, before we go into the topic for tonight, let us review quickly the question that we took last week. Naam, the question that we took last week, ماذا يقتديه سبق المقادير بالشقاوة والسعادة. Yani, what is necessitated by and what is required from the individual, from every individual, in light of our belief that al-maqadir, the matters which have been pre-decreed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala concerning al-shaqawa and al-sa'ada. Yani, al-shaqawa means the wretchedness, or the people who would be unfortunate, the people who would be in the hellfire. And as-sa'ada means the happiness, or the people who will be fortunate, the people who will be in the paradise. Yani, what is necessitated by and what is required from an individual in light of our belief that these matters have already been pre-decreed. Yani, who will be fortunate to be in the paradise and who will be unfortunate to be in the hellfire. Yani, what does this belief, the fact that everything has already been pre-decreed, decided by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what does this necessitate and what does it require from the individual? In brief, inshallah, and then we will discuss it in detail. Now,
it means that the abwab means to
asbab.
Now, asbab to the destination we may be.
Okay, what part of what it means is that the asbab, the causes or the means for every person to reach their destination, whether it's paradise or hellfire, it will be made easy for them. Allah will facilitate for them. He will make the means easy for them. Naam, that's part of it. What else can we say about it? Naam.
But they still have to seek the means eagerly, diligently.
Naam. The means will be made easy for them, but it's incumbent upon the people to act upon them, to take hold of those means, to utilize the means and do the things that are necessary in order to achieve the goal. Now, Allah has made it easy for you to fulfill your purpose. Your purpose. Yani, what you have been created for. Now, anything else? Tayyib. Let's look at the details of this issue. Okay? The Shaykh, he said from the beginning that this is something that's agreed upon in all of the books that have been revealed to prophets, and whatever has come from the prophets of the past, from all prophets, it's agreed upon that the divine pre-decree, al-qadr, that things are predestined by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we mean by that, we mean that Allah already knew everything that's going to happen before it happens. He knew it's going to happen. And he wrote it. He wrote everything that's going to happen. And nothing happens except that it's subject to his will, meaning his universal will, that when he wills something, it has to happen. It's subject to his will. And then he brings it into being. This doesn't mean that a person is forced to do what they do. Rather, Allah knows what they're going to do. Allah has given the people guidance of what's right and wrong. He has given them a will to choose to do right or wrong, and an ability to execute their will. And then he holds them responsible for what they have chosen and what they have done. Now, so people are not forced, but rather Allah already knows what people are going to do, because he has perfect knowledge of everything. Huh? So, in light of this, then, the Shaykh says, it is agreed upon by all of the books that have been revealed and the prophets who have come before, it is agreed upon that this belief in divine pre-decree, it does not compel a person to abandon doing actions, rather requires them to act. It does not compel a person to depend upon what has been pre-decreed. Like, since it has already been pre-decreed, there's nothing I can do about it. No, this is not what we mean when we say Al-Qadr in Islam. It means that Allah knows everything, and Allah has recorded it, and everything is subject to the will of Allah, and He is the only creator who creates anything in the heavens or the earth. And that includes the created beings and the actions. Naam. So this is what the Shaykh started out by saying. I'd like to ask a few other questions from what he said. I hope that we have paid attention. What did the Prophet ﷺ say to those who asked? They asked, should we just rely upon what has been written or pre-decreed and not act? What did the Prophet ﷺ say to that? Now, Abdul Malik. He said, act. اعملوا. Why? Naam. فَكُلُّ الْمُيَسَّرِ Every person will be facilitated, yani to what they are destined to do and to be. In another narrative he said, كُلُّ عَامِلْ مُيَسَّرِ لِعَمَلِهِ Every person who does deeds will be facilitated to do the deeds that have been pre-decreed by him, meaning that Allah already knew he's going to do. So Allah will facilitate, make easy for him what that person is going to do. Allah knows what they're going to do, and then he makes easy for them to do what they have decided to do, what they have taken it upon themselves to do. Now, so what is the ayat that the Prophet ﷺ mentioned here, which indicate the necessity of doing good deeds in spite of Allah's pre-decree? What are the ayats that the Prophet ﷺ mentioned after he said this? Do act, do good deeds, for every person will be facilitated, will be made easy for them to do what has been pre-decreed for them. What ayat did he mention in that hadith concerning this matter? Now, Abdullah. Same hadith. فَأَمَّا مَنْ جَزَاكَ اللَّهُ خَيْرٌ So, as far as the one who what? أَعْطَى, who gives. Huh? Well, what? No, before that. وَاتَّقَى, and observes taqwa, fulfills Allah's commands and His prohibitions. وَصَدَّقَ بِالْحُسْنَى, and who what? Testifies to the husna, meaning that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised the paradise for the people who do good. Then Allah will make easy for them the doing of that which is easy, yani doing of goodness. Allah will make it easy for them. Yani the person who himself gives, and the person who himself decides to observe taqwa of Allah, to be obedient to Allah, and that person believes in the promise of Allah of Jannah, that person, because they have taken the initiative to do good and to do what's right, so Allah makes easy for them the means of doing that which has been pre-decreed for them, which Allah knew that they were going to do. And likewise the opposite. The one who holds back, who is stingy, and who thinks that he's self-sufficient without need of Allah, alaykum as-salam wa barakatuh, and he denies the husna, then Allah will make easy for him, yani the usra, yani the evil, doing evil. Allah will make easy for them to do evil, that which they have decided to do. Meaning a person decides, after they know right from wrong, they decide what they want to do. And then Allah When they try to do right, Allah makes it easy for them to do right. Person decides to do evil, once they decide that and they go on the road of evil, Allah makes it easy for them to do that which they want to do. Naam. So this is very important. These ayat are very important. What surah is this in? Surah Al-Layl. Okay, one of the surahs from the last juz of the Quran. Not a very long surah. A surah that if you don't know the whole surah, at least learn these ayat. If you can't learn it in Arabic, meaning, not you can't, but you're not willing to work hard to do it, learn it in English. But learn the meaning at least, so that you can review these meanings in your mind, so that this idea that we are talking about in the divine pre-decree, the qadr, will be clear to you. That Muslims do not believe that predestination means that God has already decided and therefore people have no choice in the matter, they just do whatever was decreed for them. We don't believe that. And these ayat are proof of that. And a person decides to do good, and then Allah helps them and makes it easy for them. Person decides to do evil, so Allah makes it easy for them. And there are a lot of ayats in the Quran that have this meaning. A lot of ayats in the Quran. Now, after this, mention the saying of the Sahabi, the companion of the Prophet ﷺ, who the Shaykh quoted from when he said that when he heard the ayat or the ahadith of Qadr, of divine pre-decree, one of the companions, he said what? Naam, ya Ibrahim.
English.
In English, no problem.
He said, I have never been more eager to do deeds.
I have never been more eager to do good deeds. Naam. Yani, meaning that when he knew, when he heard these hadith concerning the divine pre-decree, it encouraged him more. He became more, yani, diligent in striving to do good deeds. Because what? Because he knew now that his destination is determined by what he does now in this world. That will determine where he will be in the next life. When he understood that, that you have to do good deeds, and then Allah will make it easy for you, when he understood that with real understanding, think about this, right? A man is told by the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the one who is Sadiq al-Masduq. He's truthful, he only tells the truth, and he's the one who's believed in what has been revealed to him, and he told to the people. He told them, and they believed him. He told them, and they believed him, that if you do good, if you intend to do good, and you try to do good, Allah will make it easy for you to do good. You're not even going to find difficulty in it anymore. Once your heart is set on doing good, Allah will facilitate it for you. You know what they said? I'm going to work harder then. I'm going to do more then. I'm going to do more. Some people, if they heard that, they just kept doing the same thing. They didn't make any change. They just kept doing the same thing. What about us? What about us? If we understand this matter, what should it do for us? I'm not asking a question. I'm just saying that we must think about this. Does it make any change for us, or do we just go along business as usual? Or do we strive harder? Or do we work harder when we know that this is the way to paradise? That your destination is determined by what happens here. It's connected. It's tied to it. There's no separation from it. Your deeds now will determine where you'll be in the next life. And a person does good deeds believing in Allah and does good deeds in accordance with the Sharia, then yani, these are the means to earning the reward of Allah and His pleasure and entering the Jannah. Now, and finally, mention another hadith which encourages us to diligently seek out that which benefits. Another hadith. Naam, Adam. Naam. Ihris ala ma yanfa'uka wasta'in billah wa la ta'jiz. What does this mean? Ihris ala ma yanfa'uka. Naam. Be diligent in seeking that which benefits you. Naam. And seek assistance from Allah. Ask Allah's help. Be diligent and ask Allah to help you in doing that which you're trying to do of good. Now. And don't become weary. Don't feel helpless. Don't feel like you can't do it. Don't feel the ajiz means person is unable. Don't feel like you're unable. How could you be unable to do good if you intend to do good sincerely for the sake of Allah and you try and you ask Allah's help? How can you then fail? Allah is going to help you for sure. Now, and finally, what about, does using medicine or ruqya, yani reciting certain ayats from the Quran or words from the Sunnah of the Prophet or the names of Allah, does this repel anything of what Allah has pre-decreed Explain your answer. Naam, Ahmed. Does it repel? Does it push back the decree of Allah, the medicine or ruqya? Yani, does it repel what Allah has decreed? Hiya min qadrillah. Yani, these things are from the decree of Allah. This is part of Allah's decree. This is part of Allah's decree. What does this mean? That the Prophet ﷺ is saying this is part of the decree of Allah. What does it mean now? Naam, seeking the asbab, the means, the causes, utilizing the things that Allah has set up as being the means to achieve the goal. That's part of what Allah has decreed. Allah has decreed something to happen. He has also put into place the means for that to happen. So it's upon a person to believe Allah has pre-decreed it, and it's also upon them to utilize the means that He has set up to achieve those things. So He said, This using medicine, does it prevent what Allah has decreed? Rather, it is part of what Allah has decreed. That's part of what Allah has decreed, that you utilize these means. And He knew who will utilize it and who will not utilize it, and what will be the end result of that. All of that is from Allah's decree. That's not contradictory to Allah's decree. And you use medicine and then something happens other than what Allah has decreed. Rather, Allah is the one who decreed that you use the medicine or the ruqya or whatever it is. Allah is the one who has decreed this. He is the one who has made these means for you to use to benefit yourself, to protect yourself, or to relieve yourself of some harm that has befallen you. That's part of Allah's decree. Okay, for tonight, inshallah, we'd like to take the second question, the following question. It was question number 49. And in last week's class, at the end of the class, we mentioned the ayat that the Shaykh mentioned concerning question number 49. We just mentioned the ayat quickly. And tonight, inshallah, we look at briefly the tafsir of those ayat. The brief tafsir of those ayat, so that we can see the relation between all of them and the point that he's making, that these are evidences of, and yani understand a little bit better, inshallah, this third level or martaba al-thalitha. The Shaykh says, "Ma dalil al-martaba al-thalitha, wa huwa al-iman bil-mashiyah." Yani, what is the evidence for this third level of the levels of faith in al-qadr, and that is iman بالمشيئة, yani having faith, believing that everything that happens or does not happen in this world is in accordance with and subject to the divine will of Allah. Yani we said that the belief in Al-Qadr has four levels. And the first level is what? Al-ilm, knowledge, that Allah has knowledge of everything. And the second level is Al-Kitaba, that Allah has written everything. And we talked about the different types of writing. And now the third level is what? Al-Mashiyah, the will of Allah, the divine will of Allah, that everything is subject to, everything is in accordance with and subject to Allah's will. Nothing is outside of Allah's will. We're talking about here is universal will, because there are two types of will. Okay, there's Al-Irada Al-Shara'iyah and Al-Irada Al-Qawniyah, and all of what we are talking about here is related to Al-Irada Al-Qawniyah, meaning Allah's will, which entails what He loves and what He doesn't love, what He's pleased with and what He's not pleased with. But when He wills it, it must happen. There's no escape from it. It has to happen. When Allah wills this, it is going to happen. There's no escape from it. That's the will that we're talking about here. We're not talking about al-irada al-shara'iyah, what Allah has legislated, what He loves and what He's pleased with, that may or may not happen. But we're not talking about that here. We're talking about al-irada al-qawniyah, which includes whatever Allah loves, and it includes what He doesn't love. But it must happen when Allah wills it. And the scholars, they used to say, "Ma sha Allah kana, wa ma lam yasha lam yakun." Ma sha Allah kana. Whatever Allah willed in His universal will, it happens. Wa ma lam yasha lam yakun. And what He didn't will, it will not happen. It can never happen. We're talking about what? Al-irada qawniyah, universal will. That when Allah wills something, when He decrees something, when He decides something, when He commands something, it has to happen. Nobody can oppose it. Nobody can contest it. Nobody can stop it. Nobody can prohibit it. Rather, it will happen because Allah's will, His will is executed and everything is subject to it. So these ayat, the Shaykh has mentioned, and some hadith, 10 ayat and 6 hadith as evidence of this level of the belief in Al-Qadr. Yani, the third level, the will of Allah, the universal will of Allah, that has, yani, power over everything, that everything is subjected to it. So the Shaykh, he mentions the first ayah that we said last week is from Surah Al-Insan, 76 surah and 30th ayat. The saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَمَا تَشَاءُونَ إِلَّا إِن يَشَاءَ اللَّهُ وَمَا تَشَاءُونَ إِلَّا إِن يَشَاءَ اللَّهُ, that you, meaning all of the created beings, you will not will anything except that Allah wills it. Meaning that your will is limited. You have some free will, but it's limited. It's not absolute free will. It's subject to Allah's will. A person might will to do something that Allah is not going to allow. So even though they will to do it, and they try to do it, it doesn't happen. And everybody has experienced this in life, whether it was something good that a person tried to do, or evil, and sometimes they were unsuccessful. And that's because, even though they will to do it, their will is not absolute. And their ability to execute their will is not absolute. But Allah's will is absolute, and His ability to execute His will is absolute. So everything is subject to His will. A person wills something, they attempt to do it, and they're successful, then this is because Allah has allowed it. Even if it's evil, Allah allows some evil for wisdom, for a purpose, for an objective. He allows kufr in the world. He allows shirk. He allows sin, even though He's not pleased with it. But He allows it for a reason. Because He has given the people this world as a testing ground. So He has showed us the right way and the wrong way, and He has promised us paradise for those who follow the right way, and threatened us with hellfire for those who follow the wrong way, and then He lets the people choose what they're going to do. And He allows some people to do evil. Naam. Some people are killing, murdering, injustice, oppression. The earth is full of it. That could never happen unless Allah allows it in His universal will. And I said, the universal will includes that which He loves and what He doesn't love. What He's pleased with and that which He's not pleased with. But it's based on His divine wisdom, His perfect wisdom, that He allows some things to happen, even though He doesn't love it and He's not pleased with it. The shaitan is here, right? And Allah doesn't love shaitan. Allah is not pleased with shaitan. But shaitan has a purpose. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created him and allowed him to exist for a purpose. So the first evidence that he mentions, وَمَا تَشَاءُونَ إِلَّا إِن يَشَاءَ اللَّهُ, that you will not will except that Allah himself, He wills. Yani that your will is subject to His will. Al-Hafiz ibn Kathir, rahimahullah, he says concerning this ayat, and I just want to mention the ayat before that, yani ayah 29 puts it into a little better context, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the ayah before that, إِنَّ هَذِهِ تَذْكِرَةً, that indeed what has been mentioned before, this is a reminder. فَمَنْ شَاءَ اتَّخَذَ إِلَىٰ رَبِّهِ سَبِيلًا, so whoever wills, then let him take a way, yani travel on a path to his Rabb, doing that which is pleasing to him. Whoever wills, then let him take the way, get on the road that will take you to your Rabb. And then Allah says after that, وَمَا تَشَاءُونَ إِلَّا إِن يَشَاءَ اللَّهُ, but you will not will unless Allah wills. So Allah is saying to you, this is the right way. Whoever wills, take it. Get on this road. But know for sure that your will is still subject to Allah's will. That doesn't mean that if you will to do good, that Allah is going to have a different will. Rather, Allah in His universal will and in His legislative will, He wants people to do good. He wants you to do good. He has legislated this. This is His legislative will. Al-irada, al-shara'iyya, al-diniyya. And if you try to do good, then Allah will help you to do good. And that will be also His what? His universal will. Because it will definitely happen. So all we have to do is choose to do good. And make the effort to do good. And have sincere intentions for the sake of Allah. And Allah will help you. And make it easy for you. Naam. So this ayah before is making us to know that the human being has a will. And Allah is charging you to utilize your will. Whoever wills, take away to his Rabb. يعني اتخذ إلى ربه السبيلة, get on the road to your Rabb. But you will not will except that Allah wills. إن الله كان عليما حكيما, indeed Allah is all knowing and all wise. And He admits whomever He wills into His mercy, His rahmah. And He has prepared for the ظالمين, the wrongdoers, the oppressors, especially the mushriks. He has prepared for them a painful punishment. Okay, Al-Hafidh ibn Kathir says, the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, إِنَّ هَذِهِ, yani in the ayat, in the previous ayat, إِنَّ هَذِهِ تَذْكِرَةً, indeed this is a reminder. He means by this, the surah, what has came before these ayats at the end of this surah, this whole surah is a reminder. So whoever wills, take a way to his Rabb, yani a tariqah, a maslaka, yani follow a road or way or path or manner of acting, a maslak, a maslaka. That is, whoever decides or wills to be guided by the Qur'an, whoever wills to be guided by the Qur'an, they get on this road that leads to your Rabb. Now, after this, the ayat under discussion. Al-Hafiz ibn Kathir says, the saying of Allah, وَمَا تَشَاءُونَ إِلَّا أَن يَشَاءَ اللَّهُ, and you will not will except that Allah wills. This means, لَا يَقْدِرُ أَحَدٌ أَن يَهْدِيَ نَفْسَهُ وَلَا يَدْخُلُ فِي الْإِيمَانِ وَلَا يَجُرُ أَوْ لَا يُجْرِي لِنَفْسِهِ نَفَعًا إِلَّا أَن يَشَاءَ اللَّهُ إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ عَلِيمًا حَكِيمًا. Meaning, that no person is able, no one has the ability to guide himself. This is the meaning of this. وَمَا تَشَاءُونَ إِلَّا أَن يَشَاءَ اللَّهُ, that nobody, you will not will except Allah wills, mean that no one has the ability to guide his own self. No one has the ability to enter himself into Iman. No one has the ability to bring, to pull anything of benefit to himself unless Allah wills. إِلَّا أَن يَشَاءَ اللَّهُ, unless Allah wills. And you can will to do something, we're not denying that. But you will not be able to guide yourself. You will not be able to be a believer. You will not be able to bring any benefit to yourself unless it is the will of Allah. Unless it is the will of Allah. For indeed Allah is all-knowing, all-wise. Meaning He is Alim, means He knows who deserves al-hidayah, who deserves guidance. Allah knows who deserves guidance. What does that mean, who deserves guidance? Meaning He knows who, if He guides them, they will appreciate it. And they will follow the guidance. They won't say, oh, the Islam is good, it's nice, but I want to do something else. The people who deserve guidance are the people who, when the guidance is given to them, they accept it. Now, they accept it. And they know that it's valuable, and they hold tight to it. It's precious. And they try to follow it. These are the people who deserve to be guided. So Allah, He knows. He is alimun bimen yastahiqqu al-hidayah. فَيُيَسِّرُهَا لَهُ. So Allah makes it easy for them to be guided. And He fixes for them asbabaha, yani the means, the way for them to be guided. And He also knows who deserves al-ghawaya, yani misguidance, to be led astray. So He turns that one away from the guidance. وَلَهُ الْحِكْمَةُ الْبَالِغَةُ وَالْحُجَّةُ الدَّامِغَةُ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yani He, yani the ayah says, "Can Allah, inna Allah kana aliman hakima." So here the Al-Hafidh ibn Kathir is saying, "Inna Allah kana aliman." He knows who deserves to be guided, and He knows who deserves misguidance. And He is hakima means that whatever He does, whatever He decides, it is based on far-reaching wisdom. Hikmah al-baligha is based upon wisdom. It's not just haphazard that He just decides, I'll do it this way or that way, without any consideration, as we do. Rather, He decides it based on wisdom. And His decision is based on conclusive, decisive hujjah. Yani His decision, He has a proof for it, because He knows exactly, perfectly, completely, yani who will accept the guidance and who will not. And for this reason, He said, yani the Ibn Kathir is saying, for this reason, He said, He is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is Alim and Hakima, He's all knowing and all wise. And then after this, yani in the following ayat 31, I just want to mention what he said about 31 briefly. He said, Yudakhilu man yasha fi rahmatihi. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enters whomever He wills. He admits whomever He wills to His rahmah. Wadhalimina a'adda lahum adhaban alima. And for the zalimeen, Allah has prepared for them a painful punishment. Meaning, yani He admits whomever He wills to His rahmah. A, Ibn Kathir says, Yahdi man yasha wa yudillu man yasha. Allah guides whomever He wills, and He leads astray whomever He wills. وَمَن يَهْدِهِ فَلَا مُضِلَّ لَهُ وَمَن يُضْلِلْ فَلَا هَادِيَ لَهُ. And whoever Allah guides, there's no one that can lead them astray. And whoever Allah leads astray, there's no one that can guide them. All of this is under what? It's under the proofs and evidences of the divine will of Allah, that it is all inclusive and comprehensive and everything is subject to it. So Allah guides whomever He wills based on His knowledge, His perfect knowledge of who deserves guidance and His wisdom. Yani there's a purpose and objective of guiding the people who will accept guidance so that they will know the way and they will be able to do it. Because Allah wants people to do it, but some people, they don't want to be guided. And He leads astray whomever He wills, and He based on His perfect knowledge that these people would not appreciate the guidance. So they turn away from the guidance, they reject it, and He facilitates them yani, to do that which they want to do. The second ayat that the Shaykh mentioned, Hafidh al-Hakami, rahimahullah, he said the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Kahf, the 18th surah, 23rd and 24th ayat. وَلَا تَقُولَنَّ لِشَيْءٍ إِنِّي فَاعِلٌ ذَلِكَ غَدًا إِلَّا أَن يَشَاءَ اللَّهُ. And do not say about anything yani pertaining to the future, verily, indeed, I am going to do this tomorrow. Don't say that. إِلَّا أَن يَشَاءَ اللَّهُ. Unless you say, Inshallah, yani if it is the will of Allah. Unless you say, I will do something tomorrow, if it is the will of Allah. And this also, this is the evidence of what? That even though you intend to do something, you have resolved to do something, don't say you're going to do something tomorrow, in the future, next week or next month or next year, unless you say inshallah. Because Allah's will is the supreme will, and everything that we will is subject to His will. We cannot do anything unless Allah allows it. No matter good or bad, we cannot do it unless Allah allows it. So here Al-Hafidh ibn Kathir, he says in reference to this ayat, هَذَا إِرْشَادٌ مِّنَ اللَّهِ لِرَسُولِهِ صَلَوَاتُ اللَّهِ وَسَلَامُهُ عَلَيْهِ. That this is guidance from Allah to His Messenger. صَلَوَاتُ اللَّهِ وَسَلَامُهُ عَلَيْهِ. This is guidance from Allah to His Messenger. And He's saying to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, and don't say about anything that indeed I'm going to do this tomorrow, unless you say inshallah. He's guiding the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم إِلَى الْأَدَبْ فِي مَا إِذَا عَزَمَ عَلَى شَيْءٍ لِيَفْعَلَهُ في المستقبل. Yani whenever he has decided, made resolve to do something, there's a certain adab, yani a respect that a person has to have with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And part of that adab is that when you resolve to do something, yani you're going to do something in the future, that you must recognize. That you must recognize. No matter how much firm resolve you have in this matter, it can't happen except by the permission of Allah. Yani whenever you decide to do something in the future, then you must refer it back to the Mashiach of Allah. You must refer it back to the Mashiach of Allah. Yani the will of Allah Azza wa Jalla. The one who knows everything of the unseen. الَّذِي يَعْلَمُ مَا كَانَ. Yani Allah is the one who knows what was in the past. وَمَا يَكُونُ. And that which will happen in the future. وَمَا لَمْ يَكُنْ لَوْ كَانَ كَيْفَ كَانَ يَكُونُ. And that which didn't happen, if it were going to happen, how it would have happened. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who knows everything that happened, He knows everything that will happen, and He knows what didn't happen. If it were going to happen, how it would have happened. This is the perfect knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And here, Al-Hafidh ibn Kathir mentions the hadith in the Sahihain, Bukhari Muslim from Abu Huraira, and we won't mention the hadith in detail, but it's the hadith of Sulaiman, the son of Dawood alayhi salam, may Allah peace be upon both of them, when he said that he was going to go around in one night to 70 women or 90 women or 100 women, and all of them yani will give birth to a child that will fight in the way of Allah. And it was said to him, or in some of the narrations said, the angel said to him, say inshallah. But he didn't say inshallah. So none of them gave birth, except one who gave birth to a half of a child, yani a deformed child. And the Prophet ﷺ said, if he had said, inshallah, then they would all have been born as mujahid fi sabilillah. But it didn't happen because he didn't say, inshallah. And Al-Hafidh ibn Kathir mentions, yani some points here, like for the sake of time though. We have mentioned previously in the beginning of this surah the reason for the revelation of this ayat, and that is the saying of the Prophet ﷺ when he was asked about the story of the people of the cave. When he was asked about it, he said, غَدًا أُجِيبُكُمْ. Tomorrow I will tell you. Tomorrow I will answer and tell you about this. But he didn't say inshallah. So the revelation was delayed for 15 days. Allah didn't give him the answer to this. And this was the reason why this ayah was revealed to the Prophet ﷺ. Don't say about anything, you're going to do it tomorrow unless you say inshallah. So the Shaykh, he said, I mentioned this in detail in the beginning of the surah, so there's no need to repeat it again here. And Hafidh ibn Kathir says this. Okay, the third evidence that the Shaykh mentions, Hafidh al-Hakami, the third evidence that he mentions is from Surah Al-An'am, 6th Surah, 39th Ayat, the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, مَنْ يَشَاءِ اللَّهِ يُضْلِلْهُ وَمَنْ يَشَاءِ يَجْعَلْهُ عَلَى صِرَاطٍ مُسْتَقِيمٍ. That whomever Allah wills, He will mislead him, misguide him. And whoever Allah wills, He will place him upon a straight path. Whomever Allah wills. What are we talking about? We're talking about the Mashiach of Allah. The Al-Irada Al-Qawniyah. Yani Allah's divine will, that whenever He wills it, it's going to happen. So if Allah wills to lead a person astray, yani He will lead them astray. And if Allah wills to guide someone, He will put them upon a straight path. Naam. Al-Hafidh ibn Kathir, he says concerning this, the beginning of the ayat, and he talks about the beginning of the ayat first, and the beginning of this ayat, before the quoted words, وَالَّذِينَ كَذَّبُوا بِآيَاتِنَا سُمٌّ بُكْمٌ فِي ظُلُمَاتٍ. That those who deny our ayat, the ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they are deaf, dumb, and in ظُلُمَات, layers of darkness. Naam. And then he says in that ayat, after saying that, those who deny the ayat of Allah, that they are deaf and they are dumb and they are in layers of dhulumat, he said, so whoever Allah wills, He leads them astray, and whoever Allah wills, He places them on a straight path. So Al-Hafidh ibn Kathir rahimahullah begins with the beginning of the ayat, and he said the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that those who deny our ayat, that they are deaf, they are dumb, and they are in layers of darkness. This means their likeness. The likeness of those who deny the ayats of Allah, their likeness in terms of their jahl, jahlihim, their ignorance, wa qillati ilmihim, and the small amount of their knowledge, wa adam fahmihim, and the absence of them understanding. Yani, the likeness of their ignorance and their little knowledge and their lack of understanding is as the likeness of a sam. Yani, he is the one who doesn't hear, and al abqam. He is the one who doesn't speak, who's not able to speak. And in addition to this, وَهُوَ مَا هَذَا فِي ظَلَامٍ لَا يُبْصِرٍ. And in addition to this, he can't speak and he can't hear. In addition to this, he is in darkness, so he can't see either. Naam. So how can this person be guided? How can the like of this person be guided to the straight path? How can he be removed from the condition that he is in? Naam. And then Hafiz ibn Kathir mentions some other ayahs that are similar to this. He mentions, for example, the ayah in Surah Al-Baqarah, 2nd Surah, 17th and 18th ayat. He said that their likeness is the likeness of the one who starts a fire, and then when the light, when it brings about some light around him, ذَهَبَ اللَّهُ بِنُورِهِمْ وَتَرَكَهُمْ فِي ظُلُمَاتٍ لَا يُبْصِرُونَ. Then when the light comes around them, the light, then Allah takes their light, and He leaves them in darkness so that they cannot see. Summun bukmun umyun. Fahum la yarji'un. So they are deaf, they are dumb, and they are blind. They are deaf, they are dumb, and they are blind. So they will not return. They will not return to the right path. This is a similar ayat of the same meaning, that this is their condition of being deaf, dumb, and blind. And a similar ayat that Allah mentions in Surah An-Nur, 24th Surah, 40th ayat. Please go back and check it. It's also a beautiful ayat, where Allah talks about the same thing, but for the sake of time. Okay, so in this ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَنْ يَشَاءِ اللَّهِ يُضْلِلْهُ وَمَنْ يَشَاءِ يَجْعَلْهُ عَلَى صِرَاطٍ مُسْتَقِيمٍ. So whoever Allah intends, whoever Allah wills, He misleads them. And whoever Allah wills, He guides them. He puts them on a straight path. Meaning, what is the meaning of this ayat? This is the ayat that the Shaykh quoted in the book. The meaning of it is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, هُوَ الْمُتَصَرِّفِ فِي خَلْقِهِ بِمَا يَشَاءَ. Yani that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who has complete control of doing whatever He wills with His creation. He does whatever He wills. Allah is the mutasarrif, the one who has complete control to do whatever He wills. He has absolute control to do as He wills with His created beings. And this is a proof of what? Of Allah's absolute, yani, divine will that has control over everything. In the tafsir of Shaykh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'di, rahimahullah, he says that those who deny our ayat, they are summun bukmun fi dhulumat, yani they are deaf, dumb, in layers of darkness. So whoever Allah wills, He leads them astray, and whoever Allah wills, He puts them on a straight path. This is a clarification of the condition of those who deny the ayat of Allah. And those who deny His messengers, alayhi salam, that they close the way, the door of guidance on themselves. That they are the ones who close the door of guidance on themselves. And they have opened upon themselves the door of destruction, of ruin and destruction. And that they are summun, deaf. They are summun, ansam, ansamai al-haq. Yani they are deaf from what? Their ears work, they can hear, but they don't hear the truth. Truth comes to them, they don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear that. This is the meaning of their deaf. Not that they can't hear, but they don't want to hear the truth. Well, bukmun means they are dumb. An nutq bihi. Yani they are unable to speak the truth. So they don't speak anything except falsehood. And they are in dhulumat. Fi dhulumat means that they are drowning in the darknesses, dhulumat, layers of darkness. Darkness of al-jahl, ignorance. Darkness of al-kufr, disbelief. Darkness of al-dhulm, oppression and wrongdoing. Darkness of al-inad, yani rebellion or stubbornness. And the darkness of al-ma'asi, yani disobedience and sin. Layers of darkness. وَهَذَا Shaykh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'di says, وَهَذَا مِنْ إِضْلَالِ اللَّهِ إِيَّاهُمْ. And this is the Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala misguiding them. This is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's misguiding of them, that they are in layers of darkness. And for this reason, whoever Allah wills, He misleads them. And whoever He wills, He places them on a straight path. لِأَنَّهُ الْمُنْفَرِدْ بِالْهِدَايَةِ وَالْإِضْلَالِ. Because He, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is the munfarid. He is alone, by Himself. He doesn't share with anyone. He is alone in guiding the people or misleading them. He has the absolute right to do this, and He doesn't share it with anyone. And His decision to guide or to mislead is based upon what is dictated by His wisdom, by His divine wisdom, and His bounty, His favor. Yani He guides or misguides based upon His favor, yani that He gives to some people, and based upon His wisdom, yani His absolute perfect wisdom. And after this, the fourth ayat that the Shaykh Al-Hakami rahimahullah mentions from Surah Al-Ma'idah, 5th surah and 48th ayat. And this ayat also came in 16th surah, 93rd ayat. The saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَلَوْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ لَجَعَلَكُمْ أُمَّةً وَاحِدَةً. وَعَلَيْكُمْ السَّلَامُ. Yani Surah Al-Ma'idah, 5th surah, 548, and also 16th surah, 93rd ayat. That if Allah had willed, He would have made you ummatan wahidatan. He would have made you one ummah. And the Shaykh Al-Hafidh ibn Kathir mentions concerning this ayat that there's difference of opinion about it, and some of the scholars, you know, have some different ruling, I mean some different opinions concerning it, that this is in reference to the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or it's not. And he said, yani, that what is correct is that this is not in reference to the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, rather it's in reference to the nations of the earth, all of them. Yani in reference to all the nations of the earth, if Allah willed, He would have made them one ummah. He could have done that. One deen, one way, one sharia. He could have done that. If He had willed, because He does whatever He wills. If He willed to do that, people wonder why there are different nations, different religions, different laws that were given even to prophets, different laws, not the same law. The fundamentals, the usul, the aqidah is one, tawheed, naam. But the laws from different that were given to different prophets are not all the same. So why is this? If Allah had willed, He could have made it like that. But He didn't make it like that, based on His wisdom. Naam. So Hafidh ibn Kathir says, this ayat, if Allah had willed, He would have made you one ummah. هَذَا خِطَابٌ لِجَمِيعِ الْأُمَمِ. This is a speech Allah directed to all of the nations of the earth. وَأَخْبَارٌ عَنْ قُدْرَتِهِ تَعَالَى الْعَظِيمَةِ الَّتِي لَوْ شَاءَ لَجَمَعَ أَوْ جَعَلَ النَّاسَ كُلُّهُمْ عَلَى دِينٍ وَاحِدٍ وَشَرِيَةٍ وَاحِدَةٍ لَا يُنْسَخُ شَيْءٌ مِنْهَا. Yani Allah is speaking to all the nations of the earth, and He is informing them about His magnificent Qudra, yani His power, His great power, which if He willed to collect all the people, or to make all of the people, all of them, on one deen, with one law, that would not be abrogated. Nothing of it would be abrogated. It would remain intact forever. If He had willed, He could have done this. If He had willed, He could have done this. وَلَكِنَّهُ تَعَالَى شَرَعَ لِكُلِّ رَسُولٍ شِرْعَةً عَلَى حِدَى ثُمَّ نَسَخَهَا أَوْ بَعْدَهَا بِرِسَالَةِ الْآخَرِ الَّذِي بَعْدَهُ. Yani, but Allah, the Most High, He has legislated for every messenger a law, yani for each one of them, a law that's specific to them. And then He has abrogated it or some part of it by the risala, another risala of the one who came after him, yani the messenger who came after him. Either Allah abrogated there what He had given to them completely, or at least some of it. Until finally, all of that which Allah had given to the people, all of the laws and ways that He had given to the people, all of it was abrogated when He missioned His Abd and His Rasul Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the one who He has sent to all of the people of the earth. And in this ayat is what? That if Allah had willed, He would have, bismillah wasallam, He would have made, yani all the nations of the earth, one nation, one deen, one sharia. But Allah legislated for every messenger a specific sharia, and then He abrogated that sharia or some of it by the message of the following messenger. And then He abrogated all of them by the missioning of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam to the whole of humanity, to all the people absolutely without exception in the whole earth. And He made him as Khatim al-Anbiya, yani the seal of all the prophets, kullihim alayhi salam. And for this reason, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in this ayat, وَلَوْ شَاءَ اللَّهِ, if Allah had willed, لَجَعَلَكُمْ أُمَّةً وَاحِدَةً, He would have made you all one ummah. وَلَكِنْ لِيَبَلُوَكُمْ فِي مَا آتَاكُمْ, but Allah intended to test you in that which He has given you. Yani to test each nation that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has legislated different laws, different types of sharia to different nations, to test His servants in that which He has legislated for them. And He has given different laws, and each one, it will be a test for them to fulfill that which has been given to them. And so that He will reward them, or He will punish them for their obedience and disobedience according to what they have done and what they have resolved to do from that. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward them, or He will punish them according to what they have done or they have resolved to do. And the last ayat that we mentioned tonight, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, is from Surah Al-Baqarah, second surah, 253rd ayat. The Shaykh mentioned from this ayat just this saying, وَلَوْ شَاءَ اللَّهِ مَقْتَتَلُوا, that if Allah had willed, they would not have fought one another. If Allah had willed, they would not have fought one another. And yani it's good that a person should go back and always try to read the ayats before and the ayats after to try to put it in context. And even though the Shaykh, he only mentions this part of the ayat, but the rest of the ayat helps a lot. Yani the meaning of which in this ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that these are the messengers He has preferred, some of them over others, some of them He has spoken to like Musa and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and some of them He have raised degrees over others, as is confirmed in the hadith of Al-Isra, where the Prophet ﷺ went through the various Sama' and he saw different prophets on different levels. And he has given to Isa ibn Maryam yani clear evidences and strengthened him with the Ruh al-Qudus. And then came to this part of the ayat, close to it anyway, that the Shaykh mentioned. Allah repeats, he says first, وَلَوْ شَاءَ اللَّهِ, if Allah had willed, then they would not have fought, yani those who came after them would not have fought one another, after the clear evidence came to them. But Allah, وَلَكِنْ اِخْتَلَفُوا فَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ آمَنَ وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ كَفَرَ, but they differed. So some of them believed, and some of them disbelieved. And then here the Shaykh, this is the part that the Shaykh mentioned, But some of them believed. They differed. Some of them believed and some of them disbelieved. And if Allah had willed, they would not have fought. وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ يَفْعَلُ مَا يُرِيدُ. But Allah is the one who does whatever He wills. If Allah had willed, they would not have fought. But Allah is the one who does whatever He wills, whatever He intends. And the Shaykh Al-Hafidh ibn Kathir mentioned a long tafsir concerning this, but for the sake of time, and it will suffice with يعني what he closes with the tafsir of this ayat with. And he says, and he gets to this point in the ayat, يعني that if Allah had willed, they would not have fought, those who came after them, after the clear evidence came to them, but they differed, some of them believing and some of them disbelieving. وَلَوْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ مَا اِقْتَتَلُوا. And if Allah had willed, they would not have fought one another, meaning, بَلْ كُلُّ ذَلِكَ عَنْ قَضَاءِ اللَّهِ وَقَدْرِهِ. And this is the point يعني, that we want to focus on in our discussion in this on this level of Iman bil-Qadr, that if Allah had willed, they would not have fought. Al-Hafidh ibn Kathir says, but rather all of that, whatever has happened, it is from the qada of Allah and His qadr. It is from the qada of Allah and His qadr. And for this reason, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ended the ayah by saying, وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ يَفْعَلُ مَا يُرِيدُ. But indeed, يعني Allah is the one who does whatever He intends. He does whatever He intends, whatever He wills. يعني everything that happens, everything, whether it is the splitting of the nations, whether it is the division into sects of the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam into 73 sects, as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prophesied, that is Ummah, like the Jews were divided into 71 sects, and the Christians were divided into 72 sects, and he said, and my Ummah will be divided, will be, in the future, he meant, after his time, will be divided into 73 sects, and all of them will be in the fire, illa wahida, except one. And when they asked one, which one, he said, those who are upon that which I and my companions upon, the likeness of that which I and my companions upon. All of this is by the will of Allah. Yani the splitting and division and differing, all of this is by Allah's will, by His irada qawniya. This must happen. It doesn't mean that Allah is pleased with splitting, that Allah is pleased with dividing, that Allah is pleased with us differing. No. He's not pleased with that. He doesn't love that. Rather, He has commanded us to unite, but upon the truth. He has commanded us to agree, but upon the truth. Upon the truth. So this is all, whatever happens, everything, whether it is khair or shar, all of it is from the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We accept it as Allah's decree, and then we try to utilize the means that Allah has legislated for us to do good and to refrain from evil, so that we will yani earn His pleasure and His reward and His Jannah. Indeed, Allah is the one who does whatever He wills. Anything that happens is because of His qadr, that He has pre-decreed it, and it is because of His qada that He has executed that which He pre-decreed, yani that which He commanded the pen to write 50,000 years before He created the heavens and the earth. So we accept this, and we recognize, and we realize, and we are pleased with the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decreed whatever He has decreed. Even if it is a calamity, when it befalls us, when the calamity befalls us, the affliction befalls us, some hardship or difficulty or sickness or loss of life or wealth or property, what do we say? قَدَّرَ اللَّهُ وَمَا شَاءَ فَعَلَى. Allah has decreed it, and He does whatever He wills. Or we say, إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. We belong to Allah, we're His, we are abd. We are abd of Allah. Naam. Ibad Allah. So He is the master. He does with us whatever He wills. Inna lillahi. We belong to Allah. Wa inna ilayhi raji'un. And we will return to Him. This is what the believer says. That we belong to Allah. He does with us whatever He wills. And we are going to return to Him. We are going to be mawquf, standing in front of Him. We are going to be mas'ul, questioned by Him. And whoever knows that he's going to stand in front of Allah, as Al-Hasan Al-Basri, rahimahullah, said, whoever knows that he's going to be standing in front of Allah, he's going to return to Allah, he's going to be questioned by Allah, then he has to do what? He has to prepare the jawab for the question, right? And what is the jawab? The answer is what? Deeds. Deeds. When you're questioned, that's going to be your answer. You're not going to be talking. The answer is going to be your deeds, what you did. So we accept Allah's decree. When the calamity befalls us, we acknowledge this by saying what? We belong to Allah. He does whatever He wills. And we're going to be patient. And we're going to be pleased, inshallah, with what Allah has decreed. We're going to submit to it. And we're going to accept it. We're going to surrender. And we're going to keep on. We're going to stay on track. We're going to keep our focus. And we're going to keep trying to do what's pleasing to Allah. If He tries us with a calamity, we accept it. Once it befell you, khalas, the matter is finished. All you know by then, what? Is that Allah has decreed it. So, He does whatever He wills. So you accept it. And next week, inshallah, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, we'll try to complete the rest of the ayats and the hadith that remain, or as much as we can. And we're not in a hurry. Yani, we just want to try to get some understanding. And it's better that we take our time with these ayats, because all of these ayats that the Shaykh has mentioned are important ayats. Every one of them is important, and every one of them is a proof. And if you just memorize one or two or three of them, alhamdulillah, it's good. At least try to take one or two or three of them and memorize them. And look at the meaning of them and try to grasp the meaning, so that this meaning will be in the forefront of your mind all the time. When you're going through life, you're thinking about this. That everything that happens is by the decree of Allah. And it's by His, what? Will. He has willed it. Once it happened, you know that it's the will of Allah. قَدَّرَ اللَّهُ وَمَا شَاءَ فَعَلَ. Any question about what we discussed tonight? Any question, something that we said that's not clear? Before we make salat, inshallah. Is there anything? I know it's time now for the Iqamah, but if there's a question about something that we said is not clear, Sadiq. No. He described them as being deaf, dumb, and blind. Are there any Muslims who are deaf, dumb, and blind? Yani who do not hear the truth, who do not speak the truth, who do not see the truth? Are there any Muslims like that? What do you think? You don't see them everywhere? You tell them that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, don't make shirk. Guess what? They don't want to hear it. You show them the proof, they don't want to see it. And when they speak falsehood. They lie on Allah and they lie on the Messenger of Allah. I mean, this is a description. If it fits them, it fits them. Naam, you think only the mushrikeen and the kuffar, deaf, dumb and blind? Wallahi, look at the Muslims around us, all over the earth. People are lost, akhi, in misguidance. And when you try to bring them with clear proof from Quran and Sunnah, authentic hadith, wallahi, they don't want to hear. People are worshipping graves, akhi, worshipping graves. Naam, worshipping somebody who's dead in the grave, a human being who couldn't help you when they were living, unless Allah allows it. Now they're in the grave and you're calling on them. People are going to the graves right now all over the world, okay? In Africa and Asia and even in Arab countries, every place. Nobody's exempt from it. People are going to the grave and they're worshipping a dead human being that's in the grave. Is this person deaf, dumb and blind? They're dead, okay? They are dead. They are not like the living. They are like the dead. Naam. Allahumma musta'an. Allah save us from that kind of condition. Yani, that when we hear the truth, we accept it. We don't fight it, akhi. Sometimes, when the truth is not in agreement with what the way we see it, we want to resist and try to find some kind of answer for it. Instead of just submitting, surrender. Khalas, it's the truth. It is what it is. Came in the Quran, clear language from the book of Allah. Came from the Prophet, an authentic Sahih Hadith. What are you fighting for? Why are you fighting? Accept it. Just hear it and hear and obey. This is the way of the believer. Sami'na wa ta'ana. We hear and obey. We're not going to fight the truth. And when we speak, we should be careful that we only speak the truth. Only speak the truth. And only speak that which is good, by the way. And only speak that which is good, as the Prophet ﷺ said, مَنْ كَانَ يُؤْمِنْ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ فَلْيَقُلْ خَيْرًا أَوْ لِيَصْمُتْ. And whoever believes in Allah on the last day, say that which is good. If you don't have nothing good to say, don't say, but it's the truth. But if the truth is in the inappropriate place or time where it brings about harm, and it doesn't bring about that which Allah wills, it doesn't bring about good, then it's not timely. Speak that which is good, or shut up. Remain silent. Be quiet. Naam. There were some kids, right? Our little kids, 25, 30 years ago. They used to recite the hadith, remember? What they used to say? How they used to translate it? They're all grown now, mashallah. But they used to say, whoever believes in Allah in the last day, then speak that which is good. Shut your mouth. These are little kids. They used to say this. If you don't got nothing good to say, shut up. Be quiet. It's not worth it. It's going to be recorded against you. May Allah protect us and save us from
our speech, from our tongues. Because it's easy. It's easier to say something than it is to do it. The person might refrain from doing something, but speech is easy. Speech is easy. If a person doesn't have control. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.